In today's complex financial environment, many retirees are at a loss of exactly what to do. What retirement issues should you be considering? When it comes to your existing financial retirement strategy, have you really covered all of your bases? Are there any important retirement factors you have overlooked? Why spend another minute wondering? Call 303-710-3791 or visit ronkasky.com and get your free financial retirement kit. Dr. Ron Caskey's time and financial retirement kit is always provided at absolutely no cost. He offers a unique approach to a number of important items that you may want to consider when creating a sound retirement strategy for the days ahead. Your retirement is far too important to leave to chance. Call Dr. Ron Caskey at 303-710-3791 or visit ronkasky.com and get your free financial retirement kit today. The number again is 303-710-3791 or visit ronkasky.com now.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey here. Just a couple of minutes introduction to the Bible Views radio show. You can hear it in the KLTV listening audience every Sunday afternoon from 2 o'clock to 3 p.m. every Sunday. And then just like my Saturday Ron Caskey show, they're both archived over on my website at www.ronkasky.com. So that's R-O-N-C-A-S-K-E-Y. .com. Now, I'm inviting you to stay tuned to this one-hour show today, and what the Bible Views radio show, pretty normal standard operating procedure. I usually read some articles that pertain to your church, your household, to Christians, to homeschooling, things that affect our lives as Christians here in the United States. Then I go down some headlines that I get out of the Sword of the Lord every week that you're not going to get in the left-wing nut socialist media. And I read some of those headlines and describe some of those. I usually sing a song off of one of my albums. I've recorded 5 gospel albums, stereo albums, 50 songs. And I normally pull one of those off and play it, usually by about the start of the second segment of my Bible Views radio show. Then I invite you, if you're stationary, to grab a Bible and follow through with me in your Bible on what does the Bible have to say about financial freedom? What does the Bible have to say about investing? What does the Bible have to say about giving, lending, charging interest, paying interest, collecting interest? What is the Bible? See, there's 450 some odd verses in the Bible on wealth, riches, abundance, and prosperity. There's 15 on poverty. So I break that down every Sunday. I talk about Joseph, the first financial planner in the Bible. I talk about taking offerings, financing the church. Just all kinds of things, and it's all from the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about God's money? It's all God's money. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Welcome once again to the Bible Views radio show. I'm Dr. Ron Caskey. I'm your host. I'm here every week at this same time. Give me a call. Get on my calendar. You can call me this afternoon for a no-cost appointment this coming week. And as I mentioned on yesterday's radio show, I've reactivated my subscription, and it costs a considerable amount of money to me, not to you, to have this software at my disposal. It's called Retirement Analyzer. And one thing that led me back to using this, I've started using this 15 years ago and kind of got away from it, but they've improved it over the years. And one of the main things is I'm starting to get a lot of questions about budgets. Can you help us with our budget? Well, part of this Retirement Analyzer and the input form includes a monthly budget worksheet. And what I do, I gather the information, put it into the software, and it basically tells you you can retire and when and what you need to do to meet your goals. It takes all of your information and puts it in a form that you can make sense of. And I can adjust what they call the red line, which you say, I want to retire here, and I can show you what you have to do to accomplish that. And, of course, I do it with indexed annuities. But if you can get, this doesn't cost you anything except some significant amount of time for you to hand fill in this data worksheet, and give me as much information as you can and you want. And then I put it into the software and kick out a report that I will bring to you and go over it with you and show you here's where you're at, here's where you want to be, and here's what you have to do to get there. And that also in that report, it does include a budget that'll help you accomplish your goals. And so if you want or you want an in-home or office appointment for me to show you how to protect, preserve, and grow and recession-proof your retirement, how to get lifetime income till death or 120 years old on you and your spouse, how to capture the upside, all of the upside of the market, no caps, all of the upside of the market with absolutely none of the downside risk. If any of that interests you and you want to get the information, it doesn't cost you anything. So give me a call, set an appointment starting tomorrow. Here's my numbers. I'll give them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more times during the radio show today. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Give me a call this afternoon, and we'll work out a time when we can get together. Always read articles out of the Sword of the Lord, which is the longest continuous running Bible-based newspaper, 24 pages, jam-packed of sermons and articles and news articles that you'll never get in the liberal left-wing nut media. And I read these on here, and if you want to subscribe to it, it's $24.95 a year, and I'll give you that information, and you can email me rc@roncaskey.com or call me. So we start out here with noteworthy news. Troops who refused COVID shots. Remember under that communist Biden when he was in office, he fired all those military that wouldn't take the clot shot that killed more people than COVID did. Troops who refused COVID shot and were fired to receive retroactive honor to right the wrongs of the past, said Pete Hegseth. President Trump's Secretary of War is making it a point to set the record straight for those servicemen and women who adhered to their convictions and refused the Biden COVID shots. December 6, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth ordered Pentagon leadership to identify service members wrongfully discharged because of their refusal to take the jab and give them their due. Sean Parnell said that nearly 8,700 service members were involuntarily separated from the military because of their refusal to take the jab. Go, Pete. Court administration can strip Planned Parenthood of Medicaid funding. Well, it's about time the U.S. Supreme Court did something right. Over the past year, in particular, federal judges appointed by former President Joe Biden have delivered a host of rulings and injunctions blocking the President Donald Trump efforts. However, a trio of Biden judges now bucking the trend and siding with the Trump administration on abortion of all issues. The president's signature legislature passed earlier this year, nicknamed the Big Beautiful Bill, included provisions borrowing taxpayer dollars by way of Medicaid from being used to fund abortions. Planned Parenthood and its affiliates were quick to challenge the measure, and Judge Indira Talwani of the U.S. District Court for the District of Massachusetts, appointed by former President Barack Obama, of course, issued an injunction blocking the provision from going into effect. Talwani argued that the provision was positive, intended to punish abortionists. However, a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit disagreed and vacated the lower court's injunction. I can't believe those three judges did that. I misspoke. That wasn't the U.S. Supreme Court. I didn't think so. The majority's opinion was penned by a Biden appointee, Judge Gustavo Agelpi, who was joined by Judges Laura Montecalvo and Seth Frame, also Biden appointees. And in spite of the Biden mob family, these three judges got it right. Alabama senator calls out Islam. Senator Tommy Tuberville, an Alabama Republican who's now running for governor in the state, says he considers Islam a cult and stands by his decision to oppose the proposed expansion of an Islamic school in the Birmingham area. Go! Recently, the Islamic Academy of Alabama dropped its plans to relocate to the suburb of Hoover after residents and Tuberville convinced the city's Planning and Zoning Commission to reject the request. Islam is not a religion, it's a cult, and their cult believes in totally different things than we believe in. They don't believe in Americans, kill the infidel, do away with everything that we believe in. They hate Christians, so I'm saying they don't belong here. Let's pick them up and send them home. Tuberville stands by the decision in Hoover. The editor says, thankfully, some public officials like Senator Tuberville are starting to stand up and let their voices be heard. Oh, we could only hope that pastors would do that. Ma'am Donnie, you know, the communist mayor of New York City, the Mandani effect called absolute threat to the U.S. Constitution. Well, duh. The Council of American Islamic Relations, an Islamic supremacy organization that has supported terrorism, boasts that more than three dozen of 76 Muslim candidates saw victories in their off-year elections, November 25. They believe Mamdani's win, which came just 24 years after nearly 3,000 New Yorkers died in the Islamic terror attack of 9/11, has prompted a surge of Muslims interested in running. I find that really ironic that these idiots in New York City put a guy in that sided with the people that killed so many people in the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and so on. he's on their side. So Christian apologist and culture expert Dr. Alex McFarland thinks that should concern everyone. Well, again, duh. The jihadists and those that are working for the fall of the U.S. Constitution and the imposition of Sharia law, which Obama tried to put in the United States, they are piece by piece, incrementally building their infrastructure, he tells AFN. Those unable or unwilling to recognize what is going on, he says, are being very naive. Well, I got one better. They're being stupid. And the Islamists and the Muslims and people like Obama and Biden say that in 20 years there will be enough Muslims in office to totally control everything in the United States. Methodist pastor tells churchgoers he is transitioning. See, I don't get that. Philip planned a Plainouf dropped the bombshell on his congregation a year after the United Methodist Church dropped its prohibition on non-straight clergy. The woke pastor of the North Chile United Methodist Church in upstate New York again recently surprised its congregation with the news that he plans to masquerade as a woman full-time and take cross-sex drugs. See, how do people put a guy like that in the pulpit in the first place in a so-called church, in a so-called denomination? The United Methodist Church allows this. Why are you still in a Methodist church, for Pete's sake? No longer sporting the beard he wore, Plainouf, however you pronounce his name, 51 years old, donned rainbow stoles and told his congregation on November 23rd. I can't read any more of that. The editor says if you're in a good church with a good godly pastor who is clean, straight, and not confused about his gender, why don't you thank God and express your gratitude to your pastor this Sunday if you've got one of those. Texas sues 5 TV manufacturers for secretly spying on owners. The Texas Attorney General says television companies have become unwelcome visitors in consumers' homes. This isn't conspiracy nonsense, folks. This is a fact. Ken Paxton announced 5 separate lawsuits, including 2 against Chinese companies, of course, alleging that the television companies are secretly spying on Texans by recording what they watch at home. Unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah, it is. And so, all right, one more. Professor fired for speaking at school board. Can you imagine losing your job for speaking out against a school district's attempt to secretly push LGBTQIA indoctrination on your children? Well, that's exactly what happened to Professor Daniel Grossenbach. The LGBTQIA army keeps trying to silence, censor, and cancel Christians who dare to speak out against LGBTQIA childhood indoctrination. Professor Grossbach's son attends public school in the foothills of Arizona's Santa Catalina Mountains, of course. The school district his children attend is most affiliated with the university. Well, we'll probably come back to some of those after this break. Then I'm going to sing a song, and then we're going to sure enough get over to the Bible. So give me a call. Here's my phone number. Call me this afternoon. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Call me today for a no-cost appointment. This coming week. Stay tuned. Be right back.
Walter J. Hopp of Hopp & Associates is a law practice limited to estate and business planning. Walter is a Colorado native with extensive experience with clients local and nationwide, and is a former partner in a large multi-state estate planning law firm. Affiliated with several professional groups to provide the most current and unique solutions for his clients, Walter is the author of articles and a book on estate planning, and a frequent speaker over the years to lawyers and groups alike. Again, on estate planning, Walter offers a unique approach for how to protect yourself and loved ones from a litigious and expensive legal system. And listen to this, your first meeting with Walter is free. That's right, free. To see if they can improve on planning that you may already have in place, call Walter and Associates PC of Longmont. Call today, 303-776-4045, or email him at walterhopp@hopplaw.org.
Well, hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey jumping in here just for 60 seconds to tell you about orphan 401ks. I've been talking about that for several weeks, did a couple of webinars on it. If you have left a job and left a 401k behind, that is an orphan 401k that no one cares about, no one's contributing to, no one's matching your money, and if you leave it there long enough, the fees will destroy that orphan 401k. So we can move that into an IRA annuity. It's just a matter of paperwork, a transfer form, and get it out of there into something that'll grow for you. Call me for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office. Here's my number, 303-710-3791. Do it today. Don't put it off. Welcome back to my second segment of today's Bible Views radio show. Be sure and write down my phone numbers. Call me this afternoon for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office, and I'll bring information to you. Also, if you want the intake sheet for the retirement analyzer, including the budget and so on, give me a call or email me, rc@roncaskey.com, for that. But call me for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office. 303-710-3791. Toll-free is 877-218-1972. Call me this afternoon for a no-cost appointment this coming week. Let me finish up with that professor and then read one more article, and then we'll move on. Where we're going today is my third segment on miracles in the New Testament. And then we're going over to miracles in the Old Testament, and that's an absolute gold mine. And I don't know how many weeks we'll stay there, but you need to understand it's the same God, just different situations that we live in today. God can still work miracles in our lives, and does. And so I'm going to wrap that up with that third segment today. I'm going to sing a song here in just a little bit. My house is full, but my field is empty. So, Professor Grossenbach discovered his son's school district was asking minor children to reveal their sexual preferences. Worse yet, a leaked email from the school principal revealed that the school was secretly encouraging children to identify as the opposite sex. The policies mandated that staff refer to students using alternative names and gender-affirming pronouns while ordering teachers to hide the information from parents. There's your public school system at work, folks, run by a communist teachers' union. That's what's wrong with the public school system right there. They think they can do a better job of raising your children than the parents can, and they're nothing but satanic atheists and anti-Christians. The school board refused to accept parents' comments on the matter, so Professor Grossenbach formed a nonprofit organization focused on educating parents about local school board policies and fundamental parental rights. He began speaking at school board meetings, and the University of Arizona then fired him for using the Title VII religious freedom and First Amendment free speech rights. Excuse me? The Constitution is still in effect, and the First Amendment has never been changed. One more. Seattle Christians met with violence. Big surprise. Really? In Seattle? I can't imagine. Christian organizations and churches wanted to hold a service at a local Seattle park, but city officials engineered a chaotic scene enabling Antifa and radical LGBTQIA activists to violently attack the peaceful Christians. That was the city council that did that. And they thought Christians could be treated like sheep. They're wrong. Some of us refuse to do that. Worshippers were pelted with urine-filled water balloons. A 17-year-old kid had a knife pulled on him as he prayed. Children and the elderly were sexually accosted. Christians were attacked and beaten by masked Antifa members and drug queens, all because Seattle city officials purposefully decided to set up these church members for disaster. Then blamed the Christians for the violent Antifa and LGBTQIA attacks. Liberty Council filed suit against Seattle city officials. Well, yeah, this is Seattle, and Seattle is in America, but it's an example of intolerance, which includes hate and hostility. That is the way the loony left conduct themselves when they hold the keys to power. So there's city councils, county commissioners, school boards. I mean, it's unending, folks. We got to turn it around. Trump's doing his best, and the Democrats just keep fighting because those are Democrats, and that's how Democrats believe, and that's their practice against Christians and pro-Islam, pro-Palestinian, anti-Jew. Those are the Democrats and the rhinos that side with them. So let's change gears. Years ago, I recorded this song on an album, and I still sing it in churches around the country. But it goes along with the message I preached in Hearst Baptist Church on the 8th of this month on Shake Up for Slackers. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. And then I did a radio show on it. I believe that was last week's radio show. But this song goes right along with that. Hope it's a blessing to you. My house is full, but my field is empty. Here you go.
There is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on the table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush comes the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? In my field.
again, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Everything we're seeing that's wrong with our country and our homes and our businesses and our schools today is because Christians are asleep and at ease in Zion. Jesus said, "My house is full, but my field is empty." We need to get to work. I said a while back to a preacher, and I said, "Christianity is not for sissies." And he came back with some off-the-wall thing about I shouldn't be critical and blah, blah, blah. Put on the whole armor of God, folks. You don't put armor on sissies. And so I stand by that. All right. Third segment on miracles in the New Testament. And some of these I'm touching some of the previous ones again just to make a point. But Jesus demonstrates his authority when he calms the storm in Mark chapter 4 and verses 34 to 40. They were in these ships, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the ship, and a great storm arose, and his faithful, loyal disciples said, "Lord, we're in a storm here. Don't you care that we're about to die?" Imagine telling Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, "Don't you care?" Isn't that that's just incredible. But here's Jesus in verse 39. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Well, he could say the same to us today. When we get in a jam and we begin to doubt and we get anxious, even though the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, and so on, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He says, what? You don't have any faith? Well, that's Jesus' authority over nature. And then casting out the demons. And I, in recent weeks, talked about the maniac of Gadara. But let's take another look at this, because that was his authority over nature. Here we see his authority over the spiritual realm. And so in Mark chapter 5, they come to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. That's where you get the maniac of Gadara. And here's this man that lived in the tombs, cut himself all the time, screamed, yelled. They couldn't keep him tied up with chains, and nothing would hold him. And so Jesus shows up, and verse 6 says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off," no one is unreachable by the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is too big of a sinner. We're going to close with the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus, today. "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him," that Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And the demon answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Well, there was a herd of swine. Jesus cast out the demons into the herd of swine. They ran down into the sea and drowned. And the Bible says in verse 13, "And they were about 2,000. 2,000 demons in this one individual." I have witnessed demon possession today. If I have time, I'll tell you about a witch that I met in California. In fact, I'll close with this. I had this young airman in my church years ago, got saved in my church from Lowry Air Force Base. He said, "Preacher, can we fly out and talk to my mom? She's a witch." I said, "You bet." We landed, walked unannounced, knocked on her door. She opened the door, and first thing she said was, "Scott, get that man out of here." She knew immediately that I was a Christian, and she didn't want to have anything to do with me. Time's up. Give me a call. 303 210-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Give me a call this afternoon for no cost appointment this week. Be right back. Well, hi everybody, Dr. Ron Caskey jumping in here just for 60 seconds to tell you about orphan 401ks. I've been talking about that for several weeks, did a couple of webinars on it. If you have left a job and left a 401k behind, that is an orphan 401k that no one cares about, no one's contributing to, no one's matching your money, and if you leave it there long enough, the fees will destroy that orphan 401k. So we can move that into an IRA annuity. It's just a matter of paperwork, a transfer form, and get it out of there into something that'll grow for you. Call me for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office. Here's my number, 303-710-3791. Do it today. Don't put it off.
Walter J. Hopp of Hopp & Associates is a law practice limited to estate and business planning. Walter is a Colorado native with extensive experience with clients local and nationwide, and is a former partner in a large multi-state estate planning law firm. Affiliated with several professional groups to provide the most current and unique solutions for his clients, Walter is the author of articles and a book on estate planning, and a frequent speaker over the years to lawyers and groups alike. Again, on estate planning, Walter offers a unique approach for how to protect yourself and loved ones from a litigious and expensive legal system. And listen to this, your first meeting with Walter is free. That's right, free. To see if they can improve on planning that you may already have in place, call Walter and Associates PC of Longmont. Call today, 303-776-4045, or email him at walterhopp@hopplaw.org.
All right, welcome back to my third and final segment. Give me a call, get on my calendar, do it today, 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Call me today for a no-cost appointment this coming week. Back to the Bible, we were talking about the demon-possessed man, and I told you that time we knocked on a door in California, I walked into that living room and I could, I'm telling you, the power of Satan was so overwhelming in there, but it wouldn't overwhelm the power of Almighty God. And she ran us off. Satan ran us off, but she didn't want to have anything to do with it. So that was another miracle in Mark chapter 5, the maniac of Gadara. And so we see Jesus' authority over nature in Peace Be Still. We see his authority over the spiritual realm by casting out over 2,000 demons out of that one individual. And now let's look at one that I haven't talked about in this series, and that's the paralytic that was lowered down through the roof in Mark chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, this man's friend's faith, when he saw that, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And then he healed him. And so here we see spiritual healing precedes physical healing. And so his authority to forgive sins and divine authority. And what I want to point out here is the friend's faith mattered. The friend's faith mattered. When Jesus saw their faith, he didn't see the palsy man's faith. He saw their faith. And he said, wow, I need to do something here. And so action demonstrated belief. Faith is not talk. Faith tears the roof off. So now we see transformation miracles, and we come back to this one in Mark chapter 5, verses 22 to 29. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So here we see the woman who had an issue of blood. 12 years she suffered. And when she touched the hem of his garment, just like that, she was instantly healed. And Jesus says down here, and I don't remember which verse it is, but he says, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so it is, that, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now I want to point out, Jesus can still heal. It isn't always his will, but miracles, I've said this before, miracles are not magic. Miracles were performed in Jesus' day and can be performed today to get people to come to Jesus. That's really the whole purpose of miracles. It was then, and it is still yet today. Because let me just back up here just a little bit. I kind of got in a hurry, but it doesn't matter. But it says in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That's the prayer of faith and action put with that prayer of faith. And it says, and straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. My dad, years and years and years ago, now he died at age 67 in 1987, had a massive stroke, and died 2 weeks later in a hospice. And my dad early on was a doctor. He was a pastor for decades. Back during World War II, he and my granddad in the early 40s, they didn't have the eyesight to go to active duty. They tried, but instead they put their careers as chiropractors. They put their careers on hold and went to work in a munitions factory to provide ammunition for those that could go and join the war. Well, my dad tells his story about, he said, I had tuberculosis. He smoked early on in his life. I never knew him to smoke, but he said he smoked early on in his life. And he had tuberculosis, and the x-rays showed a black spot on his lungs. And they figured it's going to get him. Back then, they died with TB. And my dad prayed and asked God to heal him. And he went back to the doctor, and the doctor took another x-ray, and the spot was gone. And my dad and I believe that God healed him of tuberculosis. Does God heal everybody of TB? Does God heal everybody of cancer? Does God heal everybody of heart disease? No. But he did heal my dad of tuberculosis, just like he healed this woman with the issue of blood. And he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now understand, She didn't go through a whole rigmarole. She didn't pray the so-called sinner's prayer, where these preachers keep track on Facebook of how many doors they knocked, how many people get saved. I read these records on Facebook. These guys are keeping score of how many people they led to the Lord today. Their church should be running over 10,000, and they're still running under 100. See, I don't buy that, but nevertheless, the thief on the cross, I did a whole segment on instant salvation in the New Testament. One of those was the thief on the cross. They didn't take him down and dip, splatter him, spit on him, or dunk him. He couldn't be baptized for salvation. He said, "Lord, remember me today when thou enterest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He didn't pray any prayer. He didn't read anything. He didn't get a gospel tract. He didn't get baptized. He didn't join a church. He didn't give his money. He didn't live a good life. Jesus said, "Today." It's the act of faith that'll save you. I gave this illustration last 2 weeks ago in Hearst. I said that it's the prayer of faith that saves you, and here's an example of that. First time, maybe the last time ever that I'll ever do this, but my niece called me from Florida, and she called her husband by name, and she said he's dying, he's in a coma, and would you pray with him? And I asked her. "Has he been saved?" She said, "I don't know." She said, "We've had that conversation, but I don't know." I said, "Put the phone down to his ear. Do it now. And then you watch him." And so I called him by name. And I said, "I understand you've been unresponsive, but I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, I want you to put your faith in Jesus Christ to save your soul and do it right now." And I told him, "You pray this prayer in your heart. If you can hear me, pray this prayer in your heart." I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. For Jesus' sake, I make you my Savior today. Amen." Now I said, "If you meant that with your heart and you believe Jesus saved you, give," and I called her by name, my niece. I said, "Give her some sign. Blink your eye, twitch, do something." And then she took the phone back, and she said, "What did you do?" And I told her, and she said he gave just a nod of his head, and then he died. You say, "You really believe that?" "Oh, with all my heart." See, it's not what you say. It's the faith that you put in the Lord. This woman, she didn't do anything else except touch his garment. And she said, "If I can just touch his garment, I'll be whole." Here's another one, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And it's the salvation of an infernal revenue service agent. See, some of you think that's not possible. Well, it actually is. But Zacchaeus, we sang the song when I was a little kid. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And right as he climbed up in a sycamore tree, and Jesus said, "Come down, Zacchaeus." And he came down, and he was saved. Luke 19, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among publicans, and he was rich." Big surprise that an infernal revenue agent could be rich. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him as he passed that way. And Jesus came to the place, looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Another miracle of salvation. Didn't baptize him, didn't join a church, didn't do anything, didn't give any of his riches at that time, but he did, because it says, "And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come into this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was a tax cheat. He was a generous giver. And he gave evidence of his salvation. And finally, Saul of Tarsus. You know what Saul of Tarsus did for a living? He killed Christians. So when people come along and say, I'm too big of a sinner. Have you killed Christians? No. Have you stolen? No. Have you? There is no one beyond the reach of salvation and Jesus Christ. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in the way, whether they were man or woman, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. That's what he did. The story here, my time's running out, is that a light shone from heaven, blinded Saul of Tarsus, knocked him off of his donkey, and blinded, he was led into the city, and he was saved on the road to Damascus. And he was a persecutor. He killed Christians, but that was the ultimate transformation. See, miracles didn't just change bodies. They changed destinies. They weren't magic tricks. They were proof of authority, identity, forgiveness, faith, and life-changing transformation. And he can do the same thing for you today. If I can help you with that, give me a call. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Give me a call. Thanks for listening. Well, hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey here. You know, people go to Las Vegas, Cripple Creek, Central City, whatever, and they say, if I pull this handle one more time, surely I'll win. People get off the airplanes all happy. They get back on the same airplane 3 days later, all sad. My point in saying that is the market will not sustain highs. It goes up and it goes down. So I'm suggesting that you don't wait until the market tanks to get your money changed over to a safety net. That's where I come in. I do everything with indexed annuities where the risk is on the life insurance company instead of on your shoulders. I do it all with indexed annuities and life insurance. So if you're interested in capturing the upside of the market with none of the downside risk, I'm the guy you want to talk to. And my time never costs you a penny, ever. All you got to do is pick up the phone, call me, get on my calendar, and I'll bring the information to you. Here's my numbers. Call me now. Don't put it off. Don't wait until the market tanks. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Pick up the phone right now. Get on my calendar. Don't put it off. 877-218-1972. Again, my name's Dr. Ron Caskey. My time doesn't cost you a penny ever. Call me now. Thanks. Bye. Well, there you go. Bible Views Radio Show for today. Hope you enjoyed it, listening to it as much as I enjoy every week doing these one-hour radio shows. The Ron Caskey Show is here on the KLTT listening audience 1 to 2 o'clock on Saturdays, and this Bible Views Radio Show every Sunday 2 to 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoons. And then, of course, they're archived for 1 week. They're put up on my website at www.roncaskey.com. If you have questions concerning the Bible and what the Bible has to say about any subject, actually, Just understand this. I don't debate or argue the Bible. See, a lot of people say, well, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I got news for you. God said it. That settles it. And speaking of settle it, let me just explain to you the most important thing you could call me about is your salvation. Do you know if you died today that you'd go to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not sure of that, by all means, pick up the phone today and call me, and I'll tell you what the Bible says, and it's real simple, but you do need to be born again. You need to be saved. Once we settle that matter of salvation, then we can talk about God's money and how you can protect it, preserve it, and grow it. Now, to do that, you need to get on my calendar for next week. I know it's Sunday. I don't take appointments on Sunday. I don't work this business on Sunday. But I can answer my cell phone. And so if I'm not in church or doing something else this afternoon, then pick up the phone and call me this afternoon or this evening. But one thing you do need to do is set an appointment for this coming week. Give me 30-ish minutes to bring information to you and your spouse, if there is one, at your home or McDonald's, and show you how I can help you protect, preserve, and grow God's money. Here's my toll-free number. As I said, you can use it today, and I'll call you back. Here it is, 877-218-1972. 877-218-1972. Hey, have a blessed Lord's Day. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye.